In the black void of open space sits the Baleen class rebel freighter, the Fluke, home and base of operations for Purgle Company. Inside, crammed into the conference room, are the 12 members selected for this special mission, and one grouchy-looking Duros with his hands clasped behind his back. Lieutenant Everson begins his briefing.
The Empire has left itself vulnerable on Druckenwell, and the time to strike is now. I know 12 people against a garrison seems ill-advised, but the desire is for you to get in and get out before being overwhelmed. Remember, the trick is to make the Empire think you're an invasion force, not actually hold the planet. Scion, Voltrix, and Zack, two of the garrison's leadership, has opted to stay in the nearby residential district instead of a base. Let's show them why that's a bad idea.
Two hunters and a scout against two imp officers almost seems unfair. In fact, I almost feel bad for them, Lieutenant. Almost.
This is going to be as easy as killing a Gundark.
I assure you, we will get this job done with the utmost of precision, Lieutenant.
Brack is the local resistance leader, and will handle your covert entry through the Dicey Cantina. He can also provide safe harbor if anything should go wrong, or you become separated. Good luck, Purgle Company. May the Force be with you.
Well, Zack, Voltrix, it seems we have our prey. And as I always say, it is far better to be the hunter than the hunted. Now, let's begin the hunt, shall we?
Assassination. Rebel sharpshooters Voltrix and Scion Desik have been dispatched with Scout Zack to locate and eliminate two high-ranking commanders of the Imperial Garrison. The sniper team has been smuggled in with other members of Purgle Company to stir up trouble for the tyrannical hand that rules Druckenwell.
So welcome all to the Dicey Cantina. We are joined by Frank and Chris and Greg. Do you prefer Greg or Gregory?
I prefer Gregory. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Yeah. And so, Gregory, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Gladly. So, yes, I am Gregory. You can find me on YouTube as 1N20DND, and I do videos about all kinds of role-playing games, of course, primarily Dungeons & Dragons, but I also play Star Wars with the Tabletop Galaxy crew. And I am part of the, specifically, I'm part of the Second Sunrise crew, where I play Zarko Cruz.
And let's keep meeting our people here. Chris, why don't you introduce yourself next?
Hi, I'm Chris Berlew. I am the Game Master for the Redemption Podcast. We're a Star Wars actual play. I'm also a player on the Tales of Blood and Stone, which is a Shadow of the Demon Lord actual play. I always tell people, though, that one is not for the kids.
And Frank, you being my brother, can plug the Dicey Cantina and tell us who you are.
All right. I am Frank, and I am forced to do this because my brother makes me. Please send help. But at least it's fun. No, just kidding. I have very limited experience, but I have a lot of fun playing with Andrew here on the Dicey Cantina. I've played upwards of 5 characters. Who knows which episodes have made it live and what you've heard, but yeah, I think I'm on my 5th character here. It's a lot of fun. Listen to the Dicey Cantina.
Yeah, thanks. That way I don't have to. I can pretend to be humble. All right. So let's start off with the Destiny roll. Roll me that Force die.
Here we go. Oof. I got 1 dark side.
I got 1 light side.
I got 2 light side.
Awesome. So that would be 3 light side and 1 dark side. Now, as our regular listeners might know, we also participate in Donate for Destiny, which was the brainchild of Mark Eberhardt with Coruscant Knights, and allows our listeners to mess with your dice pool a little bit by donating to Child's Play Charity. And we have the fortunate or unfortunate, depending on your perspective, message from Starburst Podcast that was feeling a little bit zany. And they had donated the $10 to flip the pool all to one side. And they chose to help me out. And so you guys are starting with 4 dark side tokens. And by that, I mean you are starting with no destiny tokens.
Oof.
It was all in vain. What is this? What is this sham? This is a sham.
So I promise to flip them over and give them back to you guys.
I like a good challenge.
That's what you need, right?
Absolutely. At least you let us know what we lost before you told us that.
Yeah, you know. All right. So, members of Purgle Company's sniper team, you guys have made your way to SGI Area 9, northeast side of the main continent of Druckenwell. You were smuggled in by the swoop gang, the Templars. They have brought you into the northernmost point of SGI's Area 9's industrial sector. You guys are currently basically on the docks of this corporate city. You have warehouses kind of stretched out before you and are under the alleys, tucked away in the dark. There's a light drizzle, and the neon of all the signs and city reflect around you. You have a data pad that has the picture of two Imperial commanders on it that are your targets. And what you know from earlier recon is that they don't in fact stay with the rest of the Imperial garrison in the center of town, but instead have opted for luxury in a residential district not too far from where you're at, both staying in these condos, this high rise. And so as the camera kind of sweeps over these warehouses and comes down the dark alley with the group of you standing there,
you see a medium height, green skinned, very wiry Rodian. He's wearing black armored clothing, carrying a very large heavy blaster rifle on his back. And everybody knows that rifle will never leave his hand. He even sleeps with his arms wrapped around it. And everybody just calls him Voltrix.
A man after Scion, or a Rodian, I should say, after Scion's liking. So Scion Desik is a human male, about 42 years old, and he's 6-foot-ish, medium build. His dress is very refined, although it's quite rugged at the same time. He's wearing kind of mountaineer's armor with a shadow cloak. You can tell he's used to being unseen and likes to be unseen. One notable feature that he does have is a cybernetic eye, and he also is very much his blaster rifle, his Night Stinger, is a it's not an heirloom in the sense of like a family heirloom, but it has that level of value to Scion. It is his prized possession.
And the last member is Zach. And you hear him over the comms before you see him. You hear him giving the lay of the land to his two other team members. But when you do see him, he's cloaked in shadow, crouched in a place where he's covered with brush and shadows and whatever else he can muster to put in his way. He is a extremely dark red skin Togruta with very minimal white accent marks around his eyebrows and cheekbones. He is draped in a form-fitting clothes, a black thermal-like long-sleeve shirt, kind of military cargo pants tucked into military boots that have thick rubber soles around them, meant for climbing. He has a veil, kind of veiled looking hood that seems like you could be able to see through it, but it's one of those things that when you look at it from different perspectives, it shifts between black and dark silver and kind of messes with your eyes. And the only bit of color on him other than that is a beaded necklace wrapped around his left wrist that sort of dangles off into a pointed triangle-like charm.
So you guys stand in this warehouse district. You know, it's late at night, and so it's closed down. There's not a lot of activity, but you have to move from here to make it to the residential district. And you know that much like other industrialized urban areas, that not everyone sleeps at night. There can still be a bit of a crowd around, and so you've met here where the Templars could drop you off, but you've got to make your way to the residential district. And so how do you guys go about heading towards where you can see your targets?
Well, Zach, I say, I believe you know this area better than either of us. Do you have any suggestions?
There's a lot of civilians out right now. It's one of those cities where there's no time of day where there isn't activity, less so in the morning. There's plenty of alleyways. I think that if we hug to the shadows and take sort of the back alleyway. We'd be able to conceal our entrance into the residential area.
Perhaps you should go first and then tell us when the coast is clear and we will then sneak over there.
Sure. I'll do the work. I'll guide you through. No worries. So I guess Zach kind of starts sneaking forward, sort of trying to like have a path for them to follow, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with the first stealth check then.
All right.
So this is Zach's check, but the extra success will cover the group. So you're not going to just pass with one success, if that makes sense.
Yes. So for everyone, I would need three.
Yeah.
Got it. What's the difficulty?
Your difficulty is going to be average, but we're gonna kick it off with an upgrade already because having four tokens, I gotta, you know.
Okay. So you're spending a token. Okay.
I'm spending a token.
Noted. Apparently, this is a bustling time to be in Drunkenwell.
Yeah. I mean, the streets are, you know, there's a little bit of a parade not too far off from you guys. It's not down the alley, so you'll probably be okay.
So before Zach starts heading off, he goes, while I'm doing all the work, guys, you mind looking down your scope and giving me a heads up for any people I don't see?
Sure. I'll use these. And I pull out my electro binoculars.
Look at that. So is that enough for a blue die?
Yeah, sure. You guys are all supporting each other.
That's right. We're a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. All right. So we roll. And genuinely, I just rolled one success, two advantage, and a triumph.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Out the gate. This is how we're starting.
Yeah, buddy.
Those guys are screwed.
Or we are, because we're spending them all now.
That's true. Two ways to look at it. Glass half empty, glass half full.
All right. Well, so for a triumph, even though you didn't get three success, you can still cover everybody with stealth, I think.
I think that's fair.
But what's the synergy of this group look like as you guys like hop from alley to alley?
I would imagine that Voltrix probably follows Zach. And I'm not sure. How stealthy is Voltrix?
Not bad. Voltrix just basically waits until Zach says, "You're clear." And then he sticks pretty well to the shadows and moves from spot to spot very quickly. He is not wasting any time.
Agreed. I think that Zach is in a constant crouch state, moving faster than most people can at a crouch state. And he kind of slows himself down intentionally for his teammates and kind of segments. Instead of going quickly through his points of stealth, he stops, looks back, and then moves on to kind of nod over his shoulder that this is like come to this point. So he kind of almost leaves like a breadcrumb trail of stealth that they can follow.
So you guys come to a rise, you know, a hill that brings you up a little bit higher than the rest, and you get to a look at the target building, this condo complex that you're trying to make your way to. And you can see kind of a little bit of the skyline as you look out into this valley residential district. And you kind of have the opportunity to make some choices about where you might want to set up for looking for your targets. There's a little bit to the north of you guys. There's a office building that has the lights off to it that it's almost but not quite as tall as the condo building. Interestingly enough, you know that the Imperial commanders have chosen this location because it shows a lot of status to it. This residential condo building raises taller than the buildings in the surrounding area by several stories. And so you can get a vantage point from a lot of buildings looking up at the floor you would assume the commanders are on from the recon. There's a kind of construction building that's in further east that is closer to the building. So you have kind of a long range and a medium range option. And there's obviously some apartment buildings a lot closer, you know, within short range. So you have an office building option, building under construction, and an apartment that look like they would be good places to set up.
The building under construction is in which range band?
Medium range band.
That's fine for Sion. He's content with any range band. So, but I like the fact that there might not be anyone around except perhaps a security guard or some such.
Did you say, was that the office building?
Construction,
okay.
I'm okay taking the long range one.
Yeah, that works for me as well.
Yes, we should definitely not stay together.
Oh, you want to split up?
Harder to figure out where the shots come from if we are not together.
I like the way you think.
I concur. Very well. I shall take the construction building. And you notice that Sion tends to, with his cloak, He tends to walk with the shadows that might pass overhead from clouds and such. So he will ghost into the direction of that building.
Right.
Keep your comms open, gentlemen.
As always.
Will do.
Where is Zach heading then? Is he heading to the short range building, or is he heading with one of the...
He's going to head to the short range building. So there was three options or just two?
Three. There was a long range option that was the office building.
Office construction and apartments. So he's going to go to the apartments.
Okay, awesome. So as you guys are traveling to each location, let's do another stealth check, and we'll start with you, Chris, because the office building is closer as you kind of head into a little bit of an office park and look for a way in.
All right. What's the difficulty?
We'll keep it average for now.
All right. Just one success. Everything else canceled out.
So you get a good look. The building looks kind of... It looks locked up for the night. You know, all the lights are off. You get a couple security lights that shine through the transparent steel. And as with kind of any large office building, you can see that there's some entrances, you know, the big glass doors on each of the four walls of this block building to it.
Okay.
How does Voltrix look to get to go inside?
Ooh, let's see. He's going to have to probably use, Gonna have to jimmy the door open and sneak up, because I'm assuming there's no fire escape or anything on the outside that I can run up.
No, not presently. So yeah, a skullduggery or computers or some kind of, or you know, I did give you one token so far, guys. If you need a fire escape,
don't be condescending about how many tokens you have.
Thank you, Starbirds Podcast.
I can try skullduggery. What's the difficulty?
Let's make it hard.
Oh,
okay. Complete wash. No successes, no threats, no advantages, nothing.
So you kind of jiggle the handle a little bit, jiggles the door. It's locked, and then kind of looks up at the tall building as there's a wipe to this construction site. And Scion stands outside the fence. And let's take a stealth check from you too.
Average
still.
Ooh, two success, one advantage. I would like to say maybe the advantage is that there is no security guard around, that seems reasonable.
Nice.
It's a quiet site.
Yeah. there isn't much to challenge you as you cross the barrier into the construction site. It's a multi-tier, you know, concrete framed building that's got stairs to head up, but no turbo lifts installed just yet.
I will start the ascent and try to get as high as I can.
And as Scion heads up the stairs, there's another swipe as Zach arrives at the outside of the apartment complex.
He kind of chuckles at Scion beautifully narrating his endeavors and looks around and decides he'd like to stealthily climb up the side of the kind of fire escape-esque apartment building.
Do you have a fire escape? I guess you have a fire escape. It seems really unfair that I didn't give one to Chris, but
I don't know. Do I need to roll a perception check to see what I see?
No, I mean, you can have a fire escape. That's fine. You're climbing up the outside of it.
Okay.
But you know, there's obvious people coming in and out of this apartment building. So you've got a hard stealth check.
Gotcha.
I like how you laugh at that.
Oh my gosh. I'm actually not kidding. A success, a threat, but a triumph again. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Nice.
Can my triumph in some way affect Voltrix's ease of getting in?
Yeah.
Could I start climbing up?
If you want to spend it for him.
I'd like to start climbing up. So I successfully, stealthily climb up this fire escape. And
as you make it up to the roof, what you see up there is there's actually some credentials. There's a data pad and a security badge ID. And the data pad has a blinking message. It's been unlocked, and it's the daily randomized access code for SGI Ventures. So you have an access code to the doors of SGI Ventures.
Hey, Voltrix, don't ask me how I have this, but somehow somebody, it's hard to explain. I have the daily access codes to the office building you went. So where exactly are you right now?
standing in front of the front door.
Look at that. Well, let me relay the daily access code. Seems to be Alpha 767 Alpha. Does that work?
Yes. Thank you.
Again, don't ask me how this worked out, but apparently Druckenwell isn't too professional about where they leave their data pads.
There's a noise from the door at the top of the apartment building as a couple of guys come out. These two guys work their way to the edge of the building and kind of lean there and are taking a look at the view, which includes the condo building. So they are currently in between Zach and the vantage point that he would like to have as he hides in the shadows at the top of the roof point. But let's go over to Voltrix now in the lobby of SGI Ventures.
Okay. He's heading for a lift to head up to the roof and looking at any map of the office building to see which office might be vacant.
So let's make a survival check.
Okay. What's the difficulty?
I think it's going to be an average check because any office building is going to have the lay of the land and you've had the recon before. But I am seeking the balance in the force. So I'm going to upgrade one more time with a token.
All right.
So you got a purple and a red.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. So I succeeded with one threat and a despair.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Can there be a nighttime janitor running around that I have to deal with now?
Yeah, I think it's a security guard.
A security guard, that works too.
So as you're looking at the map, you see that there's a spot on the, let's say, 15th floor kind of corner office that's on the like fire escape map plan to it. But there's a flash of light as a security guard shines a flashlight on you. Hey, you, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I'm the night watch. Is that a rifle?
Yes.
And his hand goes to his hip, and he's like, you just stay right there. I'm going to call this in. Keep your hands where I can see them.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't. You broke into some office building with a rifle. The flashlight lowers. He's getting ready to make a call.
If you make the call, you're going to have to admit that you let me sneak in, then you'll get in trouble. And as Voltrix is saying that, he's turning his comm on so the other guys can hear this.
Okay. And are you going for a coercion then?
Yep.
Okay.
What's the difficulty?
Let's see. Let's keep it average.
All right, one success with one threat.
Okay, so he pauses. He doesn't make the call, obviously. I want to get in trouble. How did you sneak in here? Did I let you in?
No, it was a drunken couple that was sneaking in because he was going to impress her with his big office. Here, tell you what.
Which office?
I think he said the 13th floor.
All right, you come with me. And so he motions to the turbo lift for you to come with him.
Baltrix walks up, and as he gets near him, he reaches out. Perhaps this will help you search for them. And he hands him 50 credits.
He takes it, yeah. He's like, all right, you have a good night. Show yourself out.
Will do.
And he starts heading up to the 13th floor, and you're alone again in the lobby.
Then I push the button for the next lift to come up so he can take the elevator up.
Yeah. So wait for the all clear then.
Yeah.
As you step into the turbo lift and the doors close, and we come back to Scion, who's climbed several flights of stairs so far, making his way towards the top of the building, I assume.
If that is possible, that is what I will do.
So let's make a survival check for you as well. Pick your sniper nest.
Alrighty. Difficulty?
Average.
Boy.
It's a very average encounter so far.
It's all good.
One success.
Nice.
All right.
Makes it simple.
So you make it up to the top. There's a kind of array of pallets about chest high, just along the middle up there. And so you've got something you can kind of brace yourself on and a good view of the building.
He would prefer to lay down if that's possible.
Yeah. So there's a gap between the pallets, let's say.
Perfect. And where exactly are we expecting our target to be? Do they live in the apartment complex?
Yeah. So you have two targets. There's one who owns they both own separate condos, and they are on different floors near the top of this tall building. Let's say it's about 30 stories tall. And so you're looking for a window set on the northeast corner, one that kind of basically faces both the construction and offices, and one that's on the, and that northeast corner is like on the 25th floor. And then there's another condo with a window facing out to the west. And I said northeast before, but they're northwest side. So
no, yeah. So based on where the buildings are, where our relative positions are, will one of us have an easier time with one as opposed to the other target?
So the just west facing one is on the 20th floor, mm-hmm. and that one is more easily viewed from the construction site. You're kind of square on with that face of the building.
Sure, perfect.
And then the one that's on the corner on the 25th floor can be viewed from the construction site and more easily from the office. No, obviously further away.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, Voltrix, I suppose I will take the target on the west end of the building, floor 20. How does that sound to you?
That's fine, as long as I get to shoot something soon.
I'm in position, so just, keep me posted when you're ready.
We just need, Zach to let us know where they are and when things are clear.
Running into a little complication here, guys. Shouldn't take long. Just stand by.
So the camera sweeps over to Zach, and what's his plan for dealing with his challenge?
That's a good question. I'm not a good liar. I'm trying to think. So they're standing in between, like they're right where I need to be of assistance, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at what my...
If you pulled out your micro binoculars, that you would just get like a close-up of an ear.
Perfectly inconvenient. I love it. I love it. Let's see here. What do I want to do? I'm looking at my...
Is there a way you can distract them? Set off a car alarm or something like that?
Right. Like I'm equally... I think here's what I'll go with. I think I'm going to go... I'm going to try to deceive them into leaving. So I look kind of tough and I have like military garb on. So Zach pulls down his hood, kind of stands up tall and walks out with authority to the, how many people are there again, Andrew?
You got like two buddies.
Okay. So like takes off his hood, stands up tall, tries to look tough, walks out to the two guys and kind of yells, "Hey, what are you two doing up here? No one's allowed access to the roof. What are you doing up here? Do you even live here?"
All right. And let's roll the deception check against, I mean, it's still going to be average. You guys are just getting started. And that is what my NPCs all look like.
That's fair. Average. Okay. I got three successes and three advantages.
They clearly have been admonished for being on the roof before, as they quickly grab their drinks and make for the door as quickly as possible. What are some of the advantages you might like?
As they kind of bustle by Zach, he yells at them to, "Hey, make sure you lock the door behind you. I don't want anyone else thinking they can come up to the roof." And so they kind of lock and bar other people from coming up to the roof. And what he realizes is the apartment is in the perfect place. He's in the perfect position angle-wise to be able to see, as far as what the intel gave them, where these people live. Their targets live. He's in an advantageous position to relay information, so he gets a blue die in his next roll, perception roll.
Yeah, let's say let's narratively just take it one step further. I think Zach cased the building on the recon trip from this same rooftop, so nice. he's seen where they are before. And let's have Zach do his perception check now.
Okay. What is the difficulty?
Now, this one's still... let's go ahead and flip another Destiny token. There's definitely a setback for the lights reflecting off the windows of the two condos.
I was staying quiet, hoping that you told me that the black dye was because it was dark, because my binoculars take away that black dye, but you... Well played, sir. You said the reflection off the glass. Well played. It stays. And Andrew, I'm really good at what I do, and I do two things well, and that's perception and stealth. And I just got two successes and two advantages.
Two successes and two advantages. Excellent. So you're the apartment building is a little bit lower down, so you've got to crane your neck a little bit to look up. And as you do that, there's on the 25th floor, you see your target. He's kind of just walking around in front of the window, taking in the view, and you've been able to confirm that it's him. On the 20th floor, for your advantages, what you notice is you don't see your target, but there's a knocked over lamp. There's some curtain rod that's been knocked over, and there's some obvious signs of a struggle that's recently taken part, and your target's not there.
Thanks for joining us in the Dicey Cantina. Enjoying the show? Consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher and reach out on Twitter at Dicey Cantina, shoot an email to diceycantina@gmail.com, or record us a message over on our page at anchor.fm. We'd love to hear from you. Your support truly helps the show grow. And for a preview of another exciting podcast, stay tuned after the credits. We want to say thanks to Chris and Gregory for joining Purgle Company. You can hear Chris GM the Redemption podcast on their 6th season starting this fall. And Gregory can be found on YouTube at 1 in 20 D&D or with Second Sunrise on the Tabletop Galaxy crew. Also, did you know that Donate for Destiny is nearing the halfway mark of its $500 goal? Influence our Destiny pool and that of other great podcasts like Coruscant Nights, Starbirds, Flight Risk, and New Republic Radio with your donation to the Child's Play charity. Child's Play provides toys and video game consoles to kids in hospitals and domestic violence shelters to help make their stay more comfortable. For every $4 you donate, you can add a light side token to our game pool. Or for $10, you can make the Destiny pool all light or dark on any of the participating podcasts. Visit diceycantina.com/destiny for this fun way you can make a difference. Listen up for the following special preview, but in the meantime, that's all for now. So pull up a stool, and we'll see you here next week in the Dicey Cantina.
Enjoy Star Wars, RPGs, and actual play podcasts? Then you'll love the Starbirds. Here are a few clips from their upcoming season, set in Hutt Space.
Ever wondered what a pickle tastes like in space?
Take a monster pickle and throw it to the side, and then put on his just put on the helmet and wait. He's just like eagerly like sitting out right by the door,
you
looking
just, like,
out.
Sealed your head in a container where you're munching down on a pickle. It's the gases you're causing.
It's a fear factor game.
Yeah.
You have to eat all these pickles inside this jar. Ever left your comm link on while you're in the refresher?
You're alone in the refresher, kid. Kid, please.
I feel like it's so stressed out, it just holds down the button.
Singing in the shower and stuff, and they're like, oh my God, not again.
Oh, I'm going to make a sandwich. Oh, I'd like these. Oh, mayonnaise on a sandwich.
He just narrates his life.
Peanut butter for the kid.
I thought he's in the bathroom.
Ever been stranded on a ship with people you can barely stand?
Okay, I'm about to J.K. Simmons from Whiplash.
Start clapping at my head.
If you cannot get this.
Meanwhile, Gad is just like sweating profusely like the kid.
At your head.